Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Fundamentally Mormon. I am your host, Mark Lichtenwalter, coming to you live on this 25th day of October, 2018. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We are live streaming on Facebook at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. And also on YouTube, but I'm having problems with everything today, as usual. Just never-ending problems. I don't understand. I'm getting to the point where I'm just like, why do I even do this? I mean, I know that I have a lot of listeners and stuff, but I don't have the money to pay for what I need to make this right. And I've been doing this for years, and I don't ever seem to have the money to do what I need to make it right. But anyway, we are going to continue on. With chapter 5 of Judas Iscariot, part 1, the devil's disciples. Okay, if I can get my keyboard to work. There it is. Okay, got it to work. All right, so we're on chapter 1. This is part 5 of the devil's disciples, and we'll just get into the reading. I've actually been putting this off because I've been really tired and sick today. Still sick for a whole week. It's just the change in weather, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm just going to get right into the reading. One to the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Men come to earth to be proven. They must become acquainted with good and evil, truth and error, and pass through the fires of temptation. Without this experience, they can never qualify themselves for a crown of glory. They must understand sorrow, pain, and suffering, then they can appreciate the goodness of heaven. But men, like many things in nature, have their opposites. Some men are good and others are wicked, yet they often appear in many of the same places on the earth. The devil has his representatives, and they usually live in conflict with God's representatives. Brigham Young observed, quote, as it has always been and will be yet for some time, when the sons of God assemble together, Satan will be on hand as an accuser to the of the brethren to find faults with those who are trying to do good. Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 141. Satan's cunning exploits are designed to change God's work or else establish his counterfeit nearby. And let me just say, when God asked us to gather Israel, he asked us to gather Israel to Zion, which he stated was in the land of North America, not all over the world. It was Joseph F. Smith, after the Reed Smoot hearings, that decided that Zion could be wherever you want. With no revelation which contradicts Scripture, Joseph Smith said if they contradict the Bible, the Book of Mormon, or the Doctrine and Covenants, you set them down as imposters. There was never any revelation to stay scattered throughout the world, except for the revelation that came by Babylon the Great, which has forced its hand in the church for many, 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 many years. Over 128 years since 1890. And so the devil has us scattered, not gathered. Anyway, continuing. Let's see, and that's one of the things, you know, changing God's work. God asked us to do certain things. We have the Doctrine and Covenants, which is full of the commandments of God, and we refuse to follow them, which is really unfortunate. Like with the whole thing with the law of consecration. In the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, all of the saints which were the disciples of Yeshua, who is Gentiles called Jesus, they gathered together and they had all things in common. This is called the law of consecration. This is a united order, which has been taught to us by the prophet Joseph Smith, which Jesus said he wanted us to live by this by these united orders, which were done away with in the 1890s by Wilford Woodruff, because that is the pact with the devil that he made in order for statehood to be accomplished. That doing away with plural celestial marriage, which is a thing, and doing away with the Council of 50, which is the kingdom of God, the political portion of the kingdom of God on the earth. The church is not the kingdom. The church is something that is required for the kingdom to come about. It's the woman that the man-child is born into that the devil wants to destroy. Because when a people live all that God has commanded, including united orders, gathering to Zion, which is North America, consecration, plural celestial marriage, and all of these things, then they will look up and Zion will come down. Zion will come down from above, and then that's when Adam, the Ancient of Days, as spoken of in Daniel chapter 7, comes down with all of the holy prophets and prepares a kingdom, not the church, but an actual kingdom that will consume the whole earth and be a preparatory kingdom for the coming of HaMashiach, Yeshua, our Messiah and our Savior. All right, so either by deception or destruction, the devil has and always will oppose the work of God. From the beginning, when he persuaded Cain to become an instrument of conspiracy and murder, he has been busily engaging men to do the same. We're on page 37 of Judas Iscariot. You can read along with us for free at ogdenkraut.com. Click on Read Ogden's Books and scroll down to Judas Iscariot, and then just click on that. We're on page 37. And once again, I post all of these recordings along with the texts and the link to the radio show at Zion's Redemption Books on Facebook.com. The Book of Mormon declares, quote, "It must needs be that there is opposition in all things," end quote. Priesthood finds this opposition in priestcraft, which always is its enemy and often its counterfeit. Priestcraft simulates priesthood for the purpose of destroying it. Priesthood elevates to the worship of the true and living God. Priestcraft degrades the slavery of the soul. Excuse me. So, a true prophet should have priesthood. Priesthood is given by somebody who has priesthood, or by God himself, or by an angel, like John the Baptist had priesthood. And Peter, James, and John had priesthood, and they conferred it, just like Moshe conferred it on the head of Aaron by the laying on of hands. And this is a real thing, this power is, of the priesthood. But a prophet will teach the people correct doctrine, expound scriptures, and give their witness and their revelations, like Jeremiah did, and he will teach the people to be obedient to the commandments of God. Like Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are his commandments? The commandments are the Torah, the true Torah. Anyway, but God wants all of his people to be prophets. So, excuse me. All right, let's see here. So a prophet will teach the people how to get revelation for themselves, because in Zion, no man will say, "Do you know the Lord?" because they will all know him because they have a personal relationship with God, with Jehovah, and they know who Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is. They know him by revelation. They know doctrine by revelation because they're all prophets. A prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, will always command you to obey them, not the scriptures. They will talk about revelations they've received but never present them, which has happened for over 128 years. I mean, we never got the revelation doing away with plural celestial marriage. It was just, trust me, this is the way God wants it to be. When in the same year, earlier in the same year, in the 1890, Wilford Woodruff received a visitation and revelation from Yeshua himself telling him not to do away with plural celestial marriage. But they did it anyway. You can find out more about that in Ogden Kraut's book, which you can find at ogdenkraut.com, the 1880s to 1890s revelations. There was like four or six or something like that. There was a lot that used to, like, I know a guy that has an old Doctrine and Covenants that has at least one of these 1886 revelation in it, but the church has done away with it. They threw away the word of God, the oracle of God given to the prophet, and that was the last time we ever saw a revelation come out of the LDS Church. The To Whom It May Concern manifestos are not revelation. They're press releases. Anyway, but also prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, they do it for money and control. Prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, do it because they love God and God tells them to do, to teach the people and to go to the people, but they don't do it for money. That's why I don't ask for money. That's why I've been doing this radio show since, not this particular radio show, but I started the Kingdom of God or Nothing in January of 2014 with over 462 episodes, which I've paid a lot of money to put out there. Apparently not enough because I don't seem to have the right equipment to do everything, but I don't get hardly any help from anyone. This is a labor of love, and because God has commanded me to be bold with my witness and to teach the people. I have seen Yeshua and Jehovah face to face and embrace them in the flesh. So I'm a witness. I am the witness of the Father and the Son for our time. So anyway, continuing on, priesthood saves, priestcraft destroys. The two principles are as opposite as poles, as the poles. They are elements that can never unite. Everything that priesthood is, priestcraft is not, and can never attain to. Contributor, that's an LDS old magazine, volume 10, page 255. The devil is the prince of priestcraft. His mission and objective is to destroy the souls of men. He cannot create, build up, or produce, only disorganize, tear apart, and destroy. So it's kind of like the second law of thermodynamics. Like, God sets everything in order, and over time it falls apart. Well, if you read not the correlated history of the LDS Church, but the actual history and go back to the actual historical books, like the journals of Brigham Young and Joseph Smith, or the Journal of Discourses, or the teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, or the Doctrinal History of the Church, you'll find that things have changed. Because of the second law of thermodynamics, everything falls apart over time, right? They think they're sifting out all of the bad doctrine, which Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 28, where he talks about the Ephraimites in the last days and how they look at the meat of the gospel as vomit and filth. They get rid of it. Things like plural celestial marriage, the gathering of Israel, united order, the law of adoption, rebaptism. Did you know that you could be rebaptized at any time, and that was a thing in the church until, oh, I can't remember. It's been a while since I've read the book on rebaptism, which you can find at ogdenkraut.com to read for yourself for free. It's a pretty short book. It's like 95 pages or something like that. Or how about 95 thesis go look at the over 100 changes in the church since the days of the foundation. The devil changes things. He gets you to give up a little here and a little there. Like we were talking about the other day, in the Salt Lake Temple, there used to be baths for the washings and anointings. Now they don't even take the time to put a dab of water on your forehead for your washing or your anointing, a dab of oil. It's all symbolic. The devil has got the people to cut out as much as they can without actually just doing away with it altogether. Unfortunately, these ordinances have no saving. There is no saving grace in any of the ordinances, but there are blessings involved with doing these things, yet they've even done away with the priesthood. From 1921 to 1957, starting with Charles Penrose trying to do it with Joseph F. Smith before he died, and then Heber J. Grant doing it after the death of Joseph F. Smith. Now, what did Joseph F. Smith tell Charles Penrose? He told him he would excommunicate him if he pushed it any further. Where they did away with conferring of the priesthood. Hold on. So how is priesthood conferred? John the Baptist, when he came as a resurrected being, and yes, he is resurrected, he has a body of flesh and bones, and he still retains the authority of the Levitical or Aaronic priesthood, he conferred it upon Oliver and upon Joseph Smith by the laying on of hands and said, I confer this priesthood upon you. That is how priesthood is conferred. Heber J. Grant did away with the conferral process and only ordained to offices. And if you want to go to BYU book or to BYU the BYU library, you can actually look at any missionary journal, or not journal, but handbook between 1921 to 1957, and you will see that when they talk about how you give priesthood, it's all about ordaining to an office, but not actually conferring the priesthood. Carried on through the end of Heber J. Grant's life in 1945, and all the way through George Albert Smith's life, and finally, when David O. McKay became the president of the church in 1957, he immediately changed it back and sought for the Council of the Twelve to have a unified vote on going back and or reordaining and doing all of the baptismal work and reordaining all the people that had been ordained to the priesthood from 1921 to 1957 in the Aaronic and the Melchizedek priesthood, and they would not allow him to do that. So a lot of people, because of what Heber J. Grant did at the behest of Charles W. Penrose, a lot of people don't have lines of authority if the person that gave your granddaddy the priesthood didn't confer priesthood but only ordained to an office, and then your granddaddy ordained your dad back in the 1950s, but he didn't really ordain him, he just gave him an office in the priesthood, then your line of authority has no authority. Because in order to confer priesthood, you actually have to confer it, which they didn't do for over 21 years. This is part of the reason I do these podcasts, because of all of the changes beginning from the Restoration, where the true prophet of the Restoration, which was not finished, by the way, the Restoration was not finished. It was put on hold until there would be a people who would be obedient to God's commands and take him serious. But from the prophet, Joseph Smith, who was a true prophet, there have been many changes going away from the Restoration, making the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints like all other churches. every church that I've been to has faithful followers who have had spiritual experiences and feel the Holy Spirit when the truth is testified. Because the job of the Holy Spirit is to testify of truth no matter where you're at. When I was a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I taught people to pray about the Book of Mormon after they studied and pondered it and find out if that was true. And when they found out that was true, we wanted them to get baptized in the church. And then we convert, you know, we get them to say, oh, you know, basically believe that the church is true. And one of the things that drives me nuts after I learned as much as I've learned is whenever somebody says we have the fullness of the gospel, I want to ask, then why are you not living it? Because the devil comes out in the endowment as part of the play, so of our learning, and says, if you do not keep every covenant you've made this day, you will be in my power. We all covenant to the live law of consecration. There are 16 million members in the LDS Church, and not one united order. Not one. Yet God has commanded us to live the law of consecration and has told us that united orders are the way to do it. And not one. President Young explained, I frequently think of the differences between the power of God and the power of the devil. To illustrate, here is a structure in which we can be seated comfortably. Protected from the heat of summer or the cold of winter. Now it required labor, mechanical skill, and ingenuity and faithfulness, and diligence to erect this building. But any poor, miserable fool or devil can set a fire to it and destroy it, which is what happened to the Nauvoo Temple. That is just what the devil can do, and he never can build anything. The difference between God and the devil is God creates and organizes, while the whole study of the devil is to destroy it. Journal of Discourses, Volume 13, page 4. I feel like I need to tell you this, and I'm not sure exactly why, but to those of you in the Snufferite movement who are trying to figure out where to build a temple, in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 125, we're told to build a place in Zarahemla, which is across the river from Nauvoo, across the Mississippi River from Nauvoo. There are remains of a foundation of an ancient temple in the swamp that you can see with satellite footage. This is where God has commanded me to tell the people to build a temple. Zarahemla, Iowa, is the place where the temple should be built. And I don't have any communication with Denver Snuffer. I know he's leading a lot of people, but he needs to know that is the place where God wants the temple to be built. So I'm not part of Snuffer's movement. I'm just a prophet who kind of have to do my thing, because if I don't warn the people, then it's upon my own shoulders. And I would love to be part of a community of people, but I'm isolated by myself here in Emory County, basically, and no like-minded people anywhere to be found. So, in fact, nothing but enemies as far as I know, anyway, but a lot of rumors and whatnot. Anyway, we've got 5 minutes left on the live streaming portion of the radio program, so I'll continue the reading. When men lose the Spirit of God, they begin to think and act like the devil, which is to destroy, corrupt, and to oppose the work of God. The only way the devil can operate is through those men who willingly become his servants. When Judas had become wicked enough, the devil then directed him in an effort to destroy Christ. We're on page 38 of Judas Iscariot by Ogden Kraut. There is something in the nature of sin that causes the sinner to become endowed with the power of the devil. Remember in the endowment, if you don't keep these covenants you've made, you'll be in my power. Well, the sad thing about that is even if you are pure and you keep the law of chastity and all the other laws, but you don't keep the law of consecration, you're still in his power. You're still in his power. God will still testify of truth, and you will still feel the Holy Spirit when a minister or any person actually teaches truth. But you're still in the power of Satan because you haven't kept the commandments and the covenants you've made with God. Oh yeah, okay. So I'm sorry. The Facebook chat is like on the other end of the table, so it's hard for me to see, but I do know what I'm talking about. Yes, I do know what I'm talking about. The revelation I was given that talked about building the temple in Zarahemla was from God. So yeah, I do know what I'm talking about. So anyway, continuing on. The spirit and power of good is turned into the power of evil in equal proportions. Judas, when he lost the faith, received the power of the devil and betrayed the Son of God into the hands of murderers. Joseph Smith, in like manner, was betrayed into the hands of wicked men who took his life. He was betrayed by apostates like William Law, who was an apostle, I think, and other apostates who were high ups in his church who proclaimed to be his friend, like Bennett and others, by men whom he once loved when they were in our midst and had the Spirit of the Lord, end quote. Heber C. Kimball, Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 107. The prophet Joseph Smith elaborated on this strange mystical power that overtakes men to an elder by the name of Bethunan. Never heard of Bethunan before. When the prophet had ended, okay, I think this is a quote from, I don't know. Anyway, we'll find out. When the prophet had ended telling how he had been treated, Brother Bethunan remarked, quote, "If I should leave this church, I would not do as those men have done. I would go to some remote place where Mormonism had never been heard of, settle down, and no one would ever learn that I knew anything about it," end quote. The great seer immediately replied, speaking of Joseph Smith, who was a true prophet, seer, and revelator, who actually had the fruits of being a prophet, seer, and revelator, unlike today's prophets. "Brother Bahunin, you don't know what you would do. No doubt these men once thought as you do. Before you joined this church, you stood on neutral ground. When the gospel was preached, good and evil were set before you. You could choose either or neither. There were two opposite masters inviting you to serve them. When you joined this church, you enlisted to serve God. When you did that, you left the neutral ground, and you can never get back onto it. Should you forsake the master you have enlisted to serve, it would be by the instigation of the evil one, and you would you will follow his dictation and be his servant." End quote, Juvenile Instructor, Volume 27, page 492. We've got 42 seconds left on the live streaming portion of the radio program. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We do have 100 lines available for people who want to listen on their phones. If you do have a question or comment, you can push 1 and I'll bring you up. Excuse me. Oh, man. Having issues today. Another occasion, the prophet Joseph declared, quote, "The devil has no power over us only as we permit him. The moment we revolt at anything which comes from God, the devil takes power." Teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 181. I would not say that we give the devil power. I mean, we can. But what do you say to me as a child when I was held down by demons and choked and suffocated and bitten and scratched? I didn't give the devil the power to do that. I have the ability now through faith and through the priesthood to bless my home so that those things do not happen. But like even when we were up in Connecticut at a hotel up there, I used to work in Connecticut. Like I forgot to bless the hotel room that we were staying in. And while I was laying there on the bed with my wife next to me, she saw me get pushed down on the ground, not on the ground, but on the bed, pushed into the bed, and my whole body was shaking because I was being attacked by demons, which happens. You know, it happened to Joseph Smith when he prayed to ask God which church he should join. It's happened to me many times as well. And I don't think I gave the devil power other than forgetting to bless the room. And three large demons entered the room and attacked me at that point, which still happens. Which happens when these things happen when you raise your head up from the masses and start to promote the cause of Zion. The devil looks at you and finds you and wants to destroy you. Okay? So it's always a fight. If you're not fighting, that means you're no threat to the devil. Anyway, continuing on. It is in proportion to the power and influence of the gospel among men that the power and influence of the devil is manifest. And those who will not receive but reject the spirit of the gospel will have false spirits to send them revelations to believe and act upon. Even when you do accept the gospel and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, the devil will still give you revelation. That's why in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, we are told to test the spirits, for thereby many false spirits and false teachers and false prophets have gone forth out into the world. It's because the devil wants to give you revelation. These spirits that are among us want to give you as much revelation as they can. But you've got to be diligent in testing to find out if it contradicts the Bible, the Book of Mormon, or the Doctrine and Covenants, but also get confirmation of the Holy Spirit for what you believe. If you believe the revelations, which I suggest you do, believe every revelation that's given to you, but then take it to God. And what I like to do is write it down and take it to God and ask Him for confirmation of the Holy Spirit if it is true. And if it's from the devil, the Spirit will just withdraw from me. So because we are spoken to by the Holy Spirit and by the devil in our mind and in our heart, with our thoughts and our feelings. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace, joy, love, and these type of things. The fruit of Hasatan is anxiety, depression, anger, hatred, spite, and these type of things. So, and darkness, you know. So it's pretty easy when you have the Spirit to realize that the Spirit has left you because you're believing in false doctrine or false revelation. You should do this even for, you know, scripture study and for deeper doctrine and everything. This is how God has given us the ability to test truth, to try the spirits, which, you know, the New Testament doesn't really tell you how to try the spirits. It says to do it, but it's kind of like we need the Mishnah of the New Testament, which are the instructions, don't exist unless you're a prophet and whatever, but to be taught correctly, right? How are you supposed to try the spirits? This is why the Bible is inadequate to deliver the fullness of the gospel, because so much has been taken out of it, which we got into in our last book as it is translated correctly. Anyway, continuing, let a person digress from the path of truth and his mind will begin to become darkened. So the first moment the saint leaves the path of duty, that moment they are subject to the influence of evils, false spirits, which once have taken possession of the soul are difficult, if not impossible, to be removed. End quote, Millennial Star, volume 14, page 278. Any sin or transgression, no matter how small or menial, opens the door through which some evil power may take a foothold. Brigham Young explained, quote, the sins which are considered trifles lay the foundation of greater evils. So, it's not a big deal for our kids to dress up on Halloween and to go trick-or-treating and to, have pumpkins and have fun with witches, even though Torah says we should put a witch to death, which I think might be a mistranslation. But I mean, it's okay that we dabble in Harry Potter because wizards are cool and fun, right? When I was a kid, I thought wizards were cool and fun. I used to love to read books about wizards and warriors. And I like to play with my friends and pretend I was a wizard, right? When I was 16, I started getting into finding out about magic and reading about magic and witchcraft and Wiccanism and all of this. Now, when I was a child, I was just having fun and it was no big deal. When I was a teenager and started getting into this foolishness of the basically so God has a priesthood, so does the devil. The devil has a priesthood, and his power and his priesthood is in Satanism and paganism and witchcraft and Wicca and all of these type of things. And there is true power there. I testify that there is. I've seen it. But it was this nonchalant, oh, it's no big deal, it's just Harry Potter. Well, Harry Potter wasn't a thing when I was a kid, but other things like it that caused me to go down that path. Now, I'm grateful for the opportunity to understand things the way I do now because of the experiences that I've had, and I'm grateful to the opportunity to repent and turn away from that wholeheartedly. But I just, we give in to so much in Babylon the Great when we're supposed to come out of Babylon, but we live like Babylonian whores. And what do I mean by whores? We are supposed to be the bride of Christ, obedient to his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. But we go and we whore ourselves off to Babylon and make him Baal our husband and our Lord during the week, doing all the Babylonian things because that's the Babylonian culture we were raised up in. And we forget all about what God has asked us to do. You cannot serve two masters. We need to serve God, Yehovah, our Elohim, and Yeshua, his servant, our Messiah, his son, our brother, and our father, by the way, through the law of adoption, put away these Babylonian things. Anyway, continuing. And expose men to be tempted and buffeted by Satan, and they will be overcome by little by little until by and by they are overtaken. I want to read that again. Brigham Young, quote, "The sins which are considered trifles lay the foundation for greater evils and expose men to be tempted and buffeted by Satan, and they will be overcome little by little until by and by they are overtaken." Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 121. The apostleship is one of the highest callings ever given to man. From such exalted callings can come the deepest falls, I'm sorry. With such great privileges and blessings come to greater responsibilities, and it is only predicated upon strict obedience that exaltation is assured. If those with such responsibilities refuse the principles, the commandments, and the will of God, they must inherit a lesser kingdom. So we are actually at 42 minutes on the video, and we are in overdrive, which means we're almost out of time. So when we come back tomorrow, we will do part 2 of chapter 5, The Devil's Disciples. And hopefully we can get through it in 2 or 3 parts, but with my commentary. If you want to go read this for free online, you can go to ogdencrowd.com. It takes about 20 minutes to get through the chapter, unless you're pondering and going off on tangents like I do all the time. But anyway, and I will post the link to everything on Zion's Redemption Bookstore, complete with the text. Thank you for listening. Please like, share, and subscribe on YouTube and share these things on Facebook. And I will talk to you again, hopefully tomorrow, maybe around 3. I don't know. I've got some things to do in the morning. So thank you for listening, everyone. Take care. God bless. And shalom.